Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I'm very pleased to be joined by Ahmed Shaarawy of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who's helped me understand the very difficult to understand situation in Syria. The darkness visible of the civil war these decades has obscured all clarity to me, to my eyes, and therefore even more challenging is what I'm seeing right now at Reuters. Headline: Syria's Shara in New York renews call for U.S. to formally drop sanctions. That is striking enough, but there is a photograph accompanying this taken at the Lodi New York Palace Hotel in these last hours, showing the Secretary of State of the United States, Mr. Rubio, shaking hands with Syrian President, self-appointed President, Ahmed al-Shara, at the hotel on the sidelines, reads Reuters, of the 80th United Nations General Assembly. I've learned from Ahmed these last weeks that al-Shara expects to address the General Assembly on the 24th in 48 hours. So, Ahmed, a very good evening to you. Here we have al-Shara, the former al-Qaeda leader and associated with terror and jihad, in New York, in a good suit, with a good tie, at the hotel, shaking hands with the Secretary of State. What should the audience watch for or listen for in these next 48 hours from al-Shara or from people watching him? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So, of course, I mean, this is an unprecedented moment in Syria's history. Shara becomes the first Syrian president to attend the United Nations General Assembly since 1967. No member of former president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, or his father, Hafez al-Assad, ever attended the United Nations General Assembly or spoke to the audience there. And so this is a very interesting development and important development, because 10 months ago, no one would have expected a former jihadist, the leader of al-Qaeda's affiliate in Syria, to be in New York City giving a speech to the Council of Nations. And so it's important to point out that what his speech will entail. I think there's going to be a focus on Shara becoming this pillar of stability in Syria, calls for further sanctions relief, delisting of HTS and Shara as global terrorists, as well as asking the international community to give the Syrians a chance in rebuilding their country and reconstruction. On the sidelines, Shara is expected to meet with Erdogan. There's rumors that he will be meeting with President Trump. Today he met with Secretary of State Marco Rubio. I think there's a planned meeting with the Chamber of Commerce. And so Shara will be very busy during this week, holding meetings with international leaders, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, as well as U.S. officials from Secretary of State to other departments, in order to lobby for more sanctions relief and reconstruction and help from the United States.
The sanctions include the CSIR, Syria Civil Protection Act of 2019. Mm-hmm. As I understand, that will require the Congress decision to lift that. That is not from the executive branch. Mm-hmm. But that reminds me to mention that there is a great deal of information that we do not have about the conduct of that civil war, including what that's based upon, which is the revelations of systematic torture and murder of Syrian civilians by the Assad regime. Is al-Shara in a place where he can deliver that information? Will he respond to requests for that information for the families who've never known what happened to their children?
So, I mean, ever since the fall of the Assad regime, there's been an active movement towards figuring out the fate of all these missing people and prisoners who have disappeared for more than a decade now. But in order to just to focus more on Caesar, this came after pictures were taken of Syrian prisoners who were killed by the Assad regime's forces inside Syria's prisons, and were leaked by someone who used the name Caesar, and that's where the name came from, of course, for the legislation. And it focuses more on secondary sanctions to anyone who deals with the Assad regime. Now they've been waived by the Trump administration for 6 months, but they still exist. Again, as you correctly stated, they need congressional approval in order to be fully removed. But the Syrians have now been lobbying for the full removal of the Caesar sanctions without any conditions. There's been some sort of resistance from the U.S. Legislative Council or legislative system. In this case, some congressmen have been asking for more conditions to be put in order to remove Caesar, as that's the only leverage to make sure that Syria does not abuse its civilians, does not become a hotbed for terrorism. But given that the foreign minister was here in Washington last week and has been actively meeting with congressmen and congresswomen, then that means that Syrians are adamant in removing these sanctions because it will open a way for more investments and more reconstruction aid that will create a stable Syria.
Forgive me for being cynical, but I cannot help myself. The quote were given by Reuters from Al-Shara. We have a big mission to build the economy. Syria has a diverse workforce. They love to work. It's in its genes. So don't be worried. Just lift the sanctions and you will see the results. What makes me hesitate is the mass murder against the Alawites and the mass murder against the Druze and the threat to the Kurds inside Syria. There needs to be some guarantees that there'll be justice for those people. Do you hear that talk?
Absolutely. And as I mentioned, I think the U.S. Congress has been hesitant to removing Caesar as a whole because of the lack of conditions that were put. And let's not forget that when President Trump removed sanctions, he removed them without conditions. So it wasn't a gradual removal, but it was the full removal without any conditions or guarantees. And given the violence we've seen over the past 6 to 7 months, there should be a bigger effort from the Syrian side to guarantee that no crimes and massacres are committed again, and that all Syrians are given a voice in determining the political future of Syria. So yes, in terms of the legislative system, there's been an active movement towards putting conditions that guarantee. So giving an equal voice to all Syrians, as well as preventing any massacres. But on the executive level, it seems like the president is adamant to removing all sanctions without conditions.
And that is good for the Syrian people if that's where the energy now flows. I just tell a brief story here right at the end, Ahmad, because I'm going to depend upon you in coming weeks to watch Syria. Fidel Castro was invited to address the United Nations General Assembly after his takeover of Cuba. Fidel Castro did not come to a happy ending many decades later. Ahmed Shaarawy of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.